Hello, my name is Roger Lovell. My partner Peter and I have lived in a significant relationship for 30 years. Just next year that's coming up. We share property together, we share all of our financial arrangements together, and our responsibilities to our families, for example, looking after our elderly parents. Three years ago, we mortgaged our house and to buy back, my partner Peter was a teacher, we mortgaged our house to buy back a large block of his superannuation that he'd missed out on the beginning of his career for various reasons. And in taking on that debt to buy that back, I mean, obviously his payments that he's making to his superannuation are coming out of our combined income. But once we'd done that to our mortgage and gotten into debt, we realised that we really needed to do something about formalising arrangements for by way of payment for superannuation. When we made inquiries, Peter's superannuation is a much larger superannuation than my own, and it's through the Retirement Benefits Fund here. He's a teacher. When we started making inquiries, there was no formal way for the Retirement Benefits Fund to recognise us as a couple, even in light of Tasmania's change in Tasmania's laws. So after a significant amount of work communicating with the RBF and through working through the teachers' union, we finally came to an agreement with RBF whereby they will treat me as Peter's de facto partner. But in the event of him predeceasing me, I would have to go to them and prove to them with bank statements, mortgage documents, titles to property, etc., that we are actually financially combined and spending our money together. Now, that's come to a conclusion as far as they're concerned, but we're still, each time Peter now gets his statement from the Retirement Benefits Fund, it still classes him as being single. I think we were probably the first people to approach the Retirement Benefits Fund about this issue, and I think they were writing the rule on the run, really, as they were working out what to do. And I must say, the Education Union helped us a great deal in that. Before we'd done that, all I was entitled to was the proceeds from Peter's will. So Peter could will me his lump sum payment from his superannuation if he predeceased me. That left me in a position where, you know, I didn't have the same choice as an ordinary married or de facto couple. In that situation, a spouse could opt for either a lump sum or to take a part pension, your partner's part pension, have that received, which is in fact what I would prefer to do. So consequently, that's the amount of work that it took for us to get there. I do have copies of letters from both us to the Retirement Benefits Fund and from them, if you'd like to copy them, by the way. Peter and I are formalising, on the anniversary of our 30th anniversary of our relationship, we're formalising our relationship under Tasmanian state law this next year. We're also doing the same, because Peter's a British subject as well, we're also doing that at the British consulate. We're going to register our relationship there. And incidentally, we don't have these problems in Britain. We've had to, up until now, be very, very careful about how our wills were written. Peter has family in Scotland, I've got family here, and while we don't for one moment imagine that anybody would contest our wishes by way of our wills, as we all know, you have to make sure that these things are the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And this took us quite a bit of time and expense and fairly lengthy wills with our lawyer to make sure that our wishes are tied up fairly firmly. As I say, we're formalising both of our relationship both with the Tasmanian government and with the British government. That'll be happening early next year. Here's my notes. Quite apart from superannuation, I mean, we seem to be very lucky in that we've managed to tie up the loose ends as far as our finances are concerned. There are other issues too as a couple that we face. For instance, medical insurance. We don't get the benefits of a couple for medical insurance. It's a slightly cheaper premium that one has to pay. But we can't approach a medical insurance company to do that. I mean, they just don't have an ability to register as a couple. And up until a few years ago, in fact, before the laws changed in Tasmania, we were required, if we wanted life insurance in Tasmania, we were required to sign a document for the insurance company, which in fact incriminated us under Tasmanian law at that time. So we went to our lawyer, and our lawyer said, well, don't do it, you know, you do it, that would be a stupid thing to do. So consequently, we were uninsured for a fairly large period of time. We've both housed my parents. My parents come from a lower socioeconomic background, and they were, my father was a farm labourer, and consequently they never built up a very large saving over their working life. So Peter and I have in fact housed them, or had housed them up until 3 years ago, for a period of 15 years. Now, 2 years ago my mother had a stroke and had to be moved into a nursing home. We had to make arrangements with my father for accommodation to be near her, and consequently we sold the house that we owned, that we had housed them in. Again, another example of income sharing that couples have that Peter and I can't do. You know, if you're a married couple and you've got one person whose income is a bit lower, you can shift it across to that person and minimise your tax, as all of us would like to do. We can't do that. We get 50% of the profit is put on his income, 50% of the profit is put on my income. Which is interesting in that we've saved the federal government so much money in housing for my parents over a 15-year period, and in fact never collected rent from them over that time, so we weren't making any money out of it. But we are afforded no benefit at the end of that when we sell a property that's surplus to our needs. And to finish, I'd just like to say too that all of those things taken into account, it's interesting that the federal government at the moment doesn't recognise our relationship by way of these financial benefits that we can gain through tax. Yet ironically, if we were to go forward and not have any recognition of our relationship, if the situation allowed, we could both sit in the same house, having lived together for God knows how many years, and collect two single pensions. So I'm quite happy to pay my tax. I'm quite happy to take, if that situation arises, a lowered couple's pension. But the irony just seems to exist there that's what the end will be. As I said, I've got two letters here that you may find of interest if you want to copy them. I think that's about all.
We'd certainly like to have copies of those if that's agreeable, Roger. Thank you. Perhaps if you talk with Emily, we can arrange to do that before we go today.
Okay.
thank you.